Welcome to the Stain Gang Podcast as we talk about Midwestern State softball. Midwestern State is home this weekend for two tough series against Texas Woman's and UT Tyler on Friday and Sunday. Midwestern State is scheduled to play doubleheaders, so we'd love to see you out at Mustangs Park. This past weekend, Midwestern State was on the road north of the Red River taking on Oklahoma Christian and Cameron. And Brittany Talley joining us here on the podcast. Just kind of your assessment of the doubleheaders over the last couple of days.
You know, we challenged the hitters after the series at Oklahoma Christian on Friday. They limited our hits a lot. And then I think the hitters stepped up on Monday, but we got to get tougher in the circle. The pitchers have to do a way better job than they've been producing. So had some tough conversations and put together a plan. So, but, you know, a lot of it is making up our minds that, you know, I'm going to be tough and I'm going to put this game on my back and I'm going to get a job done.
So when you challenge the hitters, what does that kind of entail?
You know, adjusting in at bat adjustments and not bat to a bat and understanding. And then, you know, doing their research prior to, we can give you all the information. We can give you the scout. You got to go in there with your mind made up that you're going to do this. So, you know, Jill and Grace are two of the more quality pitchers in the conference that are at OC. So anything behind them, you know, is obviously like a little easier to hit. I think they're two of the more competitive mental pitchers that any team has to face. So challenging them to, hey, take this and how do we learn from it? And then, you know, going from those two to Cameron, who has a similar sequence and a similar setup with their pitching and similar looks. You know, how are you guys going to make the adjustment and take accountability and go forward? And they did. I think we had several hits in the game.
I think you out-hit them in both games, didn't
yeah.
you?
Yeah. They got a few key hits, like, in good positions, like when runners were on base. And
it was walks that hurt you there, right? You put runners on, and then they get a big hit.
Yep, just being tough in the circle, not doing our job there.
I did want to ask about Kaylee Bowers. Is she okay? Because I was a little surprised when she came out of the game.
Yeah, she's struggling with some UCL stuff, so we just have to watch the amount that we put on her during the week so that we can have her for the games.
The other somewhat surprising move just as a spectator was when Lexi Mills got a pinch hit. What prompted that move?
You know, Cameron was busting us inside, and that's Lexi's piece of cake, and then they threw three outside pitches. They hadn't touched the outside corner the whole entire game, you know. That was my decision, and there were a couple others that I probably could have gone with in that moment. But, you know, inside is her cup of tea, and that's what she really excels at. And so kudos to them for doing their homework and knowing exactly, you know, what to give to her in that moment. So.
And then Sydney Lent cooled off a little bit at the bat this week, but you got a chance to play her at the glove, and then she robs a home run.
Yeah, she did. It was kind of funny because the whole stadium got quiet. There was one, another home run right before that, and she just missed it. She was a little late. And you know, you couldn't really, like, see. It was dark in the corner.
It was dark in that corner.
And all, like, everything was quiet, and you heard it hit the glove. But it was kind of the same time her arm hit the fence. So we weren't really sure. Like, I really thought she just went up and missed it. And then she came down and threw it. And everybody was like, oh. I think even the runners were like, oh, my gosh, like, a little stunned.
But Do you expect her to play more in the field?
It's just trying to – honestly, outfield is our deepest position, both athletically, defensively, offensively. They're all, like, pretty much dead even outside of who's been taking advantage of offensive opportunities. So using her in a DP has just been our way of, like, getting all four bats into the lineup versus, like, restricting ourselves. Tatum's swing isn't really conducive with the type of pitching that we saw this past weekend. So flexed her the first game, and then Addie did really well in game one hitting. So trying to keep her back in game two and keep us rolling. But it's better to be too deep and have to pick the
yeah, DPO. those are decisions you love to have to make,
yeah,
right?
I would rather have those problems.
Well, and you mentioned Addie swinging a hot bat, and she did swing the bat really well on Monday at Cameron. Do you try to shoehorn her in the lineup more often?
Yeah,
as a hitter.
Right, yeah, we're trying to figure out how we can maneuver people. We had tried Sid at first base for a little bit. Didn't She's got some more finesse to learn if we're going to go that route. But
and she's left-handed, right?
Yeah,
so it seems like it would be a natural fit.
Right. So we restrict four of our outfielders are left-handed. So we can't really. We moved Emma to first, and that helped. So just trying to, you know, figure out how we can maneuver to get the bats in. So we've moved Miranda around while she's been hot. We had Emma move to first, and she's lucky enough had a left-handed first base fit. But she's really like kind of caught on there and found a niche defensively. And if we need to, you know, move Miranda back, but haven't, and then put Meg at third because she's really hot.
She's really come to life since you put her at third base. You put her at third base in the middle of a game in the last homestand, and she's really come to life for you at the plate.
Yeah.
And then she's played a solid third base defensively.
For sure. Yeah, that's why she was catching that game because she was hitting so well, and she's been hitting well the last couple weeks. So we put her into catch over Maddie, and then needed to make a change. So found a spot for her. And, you know, every softball and baseball coach is going to tell you, like, if you're hitting, we're going to find a place
right.
for you on the field. Like, we will make a spot. So that's kind of what we're doing and maneuvering and shifting people around. And I honestly don't think our defense has skipped a beat on it. They own that. They love their the defense side. But pitchers got to do better giving us balls that can be defensively handled and give us the opportunity to make those plays.
And Madison Stewart's really good behind the plate.
Absolutely, yeah. And her bat's finally starting to come to
right.
life.
Right, yeah.
She did really, really well all fall. She was probably our top hitters, like smothering all fields, line drives everywhere. Got in her head a little bit because she didn't hit any home runs, and she's used to being that kid in JUCO. So, you know, that adjustment of I'm not at JUCO anymore, I'm not at high school anymore. Like, I have to, you know, be a smart hitter and not just go for the fences.
It does look like my math may not be very good here, but I think the second half of the season, maybe her bat comes to life for you.
100%. Yeah. She told us that sometimes it takes her a little bit to get going. So just staying on her, staying with her, but she's a pretty sassy player when she gets going.
She's got a great arm. I don't think she's committing an error back there behind the plate. I just think she's a real quality defensive catcher for you. And when that bat comes to life, now you really got something special.
Absolutely, yeah. She's one. She's. I'm waiting on her little dog to come out. It started. She got it a little bit last night. Didn't really like some of the calls the umpires made, and she shows it in a good way. And she's a competitor. So having her and Addie together, and even KK, when KK's on, like, and showing that demeanor, she brings the best out of them and allows them to flourish. So.
And you alluded to probably the biggest hurdle you have to cross now is finding a way just to be more competitive in the circle.
Absolutely. We had a tough conversation between games. They didn't like what we said, but and I think KK has been our most consistent pitcher the last few weeks. Unfortunately, she just lost a little feeling in that pinky finger in the fourth inning. So I think, you know, we leave her in at least to the fifth and get to where we can have somebody close it out in the sixth and seventh, then we're in a much better position.
Yeah, it did look like you were on course, you know, and my guess is it would have been Sydney Gonzalez would have come in maybe to close the game for you because she's excelled in that role.
Absolutely.
But it looked like that you were on course for something like that.
For sure.
And then I was surprised when she came out. I'm like, that's got to be a physical problem.
Yeah, absolutely. There's like a nerve in her UCL and her UCL that are bothering her in her elbow. And she's a drop ball kid, so not being able to have that pinky finger kind of hurts. But
does that take her out for this weekend?
No, we just have to watch. She can't throw. We might have just overdone it a little bit at practice or maybe warmed up a little too much prior to. She's good until she's not. And so her knowing her body and where she can get to, and then, you know, to get through the season as much as we can, and then look at it over the summer for something
and,
moving forward.
And kudos to her for telling you, because some players would try to play through it, try to tough it out. Mm-hmm. It's a positive quality to be able to tell your coach, hey, I'm not physically feeling it. This is what's happening to my body.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but Addie came in and did much better in the second game than she did in the first. She made the adjustments. So
I was going to ask, why do you think that? Do you think it was just that she was coming in relief? You say she made an adjustment?
No, I mean, honestly, we've been making a lot of mechanical changes with Addie, so we expected, you know, a little bit of setbacks. It's not an overnight, you know, change. So, and then just getting her to be able to feel those changes and make those adjustments, we've tweaked some things mechanically. So, but I think she still has that mindset, you know, that competitor mindset. So the whole I didn't do my best in the first game is enough for her to flip a switch and, you know.
Well, it was also nice, that, and we've already talked about it, she did well at the plate, but it's nice that she can compartmentalize. Okay, I didn't 100%. Pitch well, but I can contribute with my bat.
Yeah, whatever her parents did, I wish we could replicate it. Across they made one hell of a kid.
Let's talk a little bit about what's coming up at Mustangs Park, and we want everybody to be there at 1 o'clock on Friday and 1 o'clock on Sunday. Are you liking this new schedule where you're playing doubleheaders on Fridays and Sundays and Saturday, Monday's kind of the weather day?
Yeah, I mean, I like only playing at the end of the week for sure and not having the midweeks like the Tuesday and Wednesday. It allows them, the girls, to have like a more consistent structure and schedule, and we can plan everything around it. You know, we can have an off day. We don't have to move the off day every week. So, there's some more proposals. Unfortunately, we'll have a different schedule model going into 26 and 27 because we're adding UTD now.
Right.
So we have to vote on that in May. But we gave them, you know, three ideas. I'm a big proponent of a rolling schedule. I don't think we have to play everybody.
Now, what would so a rolling schedule would be some years you would play one group of teams, mm-hmm. and then that would rotate over the next year?
Mm-hmm. And it just, like, moves up. So SEC does it. They're the top conference in the nation.
And like us, they've got a large number of teams.
Absolutely. And so and, you know, they have a way different model. They have to worry about strength of schedule, RPI. Ours is all geographically based. So if we're going to be the strongest conference, then you might have one schedule that's a little bit weaker. Same as right now. You know, people could argue between the West and the East divisions. But overall, our strength of schedule is going to be the most playing in conference. And the people who are geographically isolated need more conference games. So to me, a rolling schedule makes the most sense because of how the D2 model works. I think I had a few on my side. I don't know if the conference will agree with it moving forward. We asked for that to be one of the proposals. Whether it happens or not, we'll find out when we get the three models.
Do you miss the three-game series?
I'm a proponent of three-game series if we're not having to play the midweeks, only because there's a definite winner, right?
Yeah, like, right. Yeah.
There's no splitting. Somebody has to win. But again, with no RPI and strength of schedule, your win percentage matters. So a split can come down to it, maybe for that 8 through 11 spot, but the top's going to be the top regardless.
Well, speaking of the top of the top, you're going to see the top of the top when UT Tyler comes in. But before we talk about them, let's talk a little bit about TWU and what you expect in this first series on Friday starting at 1 o'clock.
Yeah, they're just swinging it. I think last time I looked, last week, they were like number 2 offense in the country in all of D2. For batting average and doubles, I believe. So they're putting bat on ball.
So what do you tell your pitchers when you know you've got the 27 Yankees coming in here?
We actually had, after the games on last night, you know, I gave them the same spiel that I challenged the hitters on Saturday, and they made the necessary adjustments. And that doesn't mean that, you know, we can be complacent. The bar has to continue to grow. But now my challenge is to you, you know, challenge up this week and do what you need to do to be prepared. But you got two of the top programs in the conference and in the country rolling in here. And if you're not going to be tough, then we're going to face a lot of scrutiny.
And I mean, the onus isn't completely on them. When you play a good offensive team, you also have to produce offensively.
Absolutely. So the thing is with TWU, we're going to have to slug it out. Tyler's not going to make any mistakes. They're not going to give you
they
anything.
They are so good in the circle.
And they're clean defensively.
Yeah.
So they're going to execute everything. They're not going to miss routine plays. There's been some games, you know, where we had some errors that helped us out from the other team. You know, it just gives us a little momentum. Not necessarily we scored those runs.
Well, but it always gives you an extra out.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I think it gives us extra, like, 3 outs sometimes.
Yeah. But, well, it can work that way, can it?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, error is such a big momentum swinger. It can be, but some teams just aren't going to make those. And so knowing that you have to put the ball in play and rising to that occasion. So.
And it's an area where you've improved. You're not making nearly the errors that you were a couple of years ago, for sure.
No, I think we've taken a lot of pride the last couple of years in, like, just developing our defense. And now we're at a space fundamentally where we're starting to make the IQ plays as well. And we're starting to know and understand the game. And both the teams that me and Coach App came from, we had that high level, that high IQ. Where, and I'm a big proponent of teach the game and let them play. I don't want little soldiers on the field. I don't want to be calling every single, you know, situation. I don't want to be yelling all the time. If I have to verbal to, you know, work some things out, then I'll do that in the game. But I'm huge on, like, I'm teaching you the game, and I'm giving you the information, and now you know how to make those decisions on your own.
Well, the great John Wooden, who was a great basketball coach, he always said, you know, that his work wasn't on game day.
Right. Absolutely.
Know,
100%. It
all shouldn't be. All the work was done before game day.
Absolutely.
So two big series coming up against TWU and UT. Tyler, excited about having these teams come into Wichita Falls?
Yeah. I mean, nobody ever wants to go to somewhere when you're facing an offensive gauntlet. So.
And it seems like you're playing pretty good, solid softball at home, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, they're definitely comfortable here. And we're a good weather team, so the weather.
And the weather is supposed to be great this weekend. We should make that point, because you've been battling that. Softball in February is always a challenge, but we're getting into the real springtime, so
absolutely,
it's going to be great to be out at the ballpark. Brittany, thanks for your time. I appreciate you doing the Stain Gang podcast.
Awesome, thank you.
That's Brittany Talley. Be sure to check out Midwestern State this week at Mustangs Park, 1 o'clock Friday, 1 o'clock Sunday, doubleheaders against TWU and UT Tyler. UT Tyler, the number one team in the nation, by the way. So come out and support the Stangs, and tell your friends about the podcast, and then bring your friends out to Mustangs Park. I'm Pete Stein, so long.